of Gaza, the building contained thousands of historical documents and national records about Gaza, dating back over 100 years. In addition, at least three museums were destroyed or severely damaged, including government-run Pasha Palace Museum, which dates back to the 13th century and was directly targeted.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah.
Need to avoid differences. Our nation must also pay attention to this, that it should shun differences and creation of disputes and such things and not allow the emergence of a difference. If a difference occurs, then immediately the individuals that are qualified should go and patch it up. They should not permit differences to occur, take root, and cause our country to be weakened. These issues should not cause the weakening of Islamic matters. The blessed and almighty Allah has favored us and done such a thing. Now, thank God, we are not under the subjugation of any power except Islam. No one else has any influence on us except the commandments of Islam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, about the subject of freedom, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, Nobody may impose anything over you and you are free to determine your destiny. I hope you will go through these electoral stages with more thought, prudence and enlightenment. On the subject of maternity, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, Islam holds women in higher esteem than it does men. Islam wants to save women. It wants to save women from becoming this plaything they want to turn them into. Islam wants to train women to become an integrated and virtuous human being so that in their care, such like human beings may be praised. This sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is about the important role of maternity in women and a warning about the dangers that the enemies can bring to it. Motherhood is the primary stance of a woman in the society. She is responsible for the survival of the human societies as well. At this stand, women are considered at the same level with the prophets. These concepts, unfortunately, has lost its true value in the material standpoints. The insight of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi examines the hearts of the matters and explains them to common people with a simple rhetoric. In this point of view, women are in charge of the purification and constructiveness of their society. The corruption of human societies and lack of solidity in families, as well as not abiding with the moral principles, stem from ignoring the motherhood responsibilities. The happiness and the richness of nations and countries have profound and genuine ties with the presence of women. A woman can be the origin of the happiness for a society, and the blessings of her being can establish the endurance of a society. The opposite of this situation is Khomeini's view. The fundamental role of women in the survival of societies has been greater than the role of men, and he has expressed that in that way. Okay, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Spring of the Truth, and I really hope that you have enjoyed it. And until another episode, I bid you farewell, and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how the world is a help for the believer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here. We're talking about Islamic lifestyle on A to Z. Now, one of the things that people unfortunately have a tendency to believe or have a tendency to think is that the world in all of its aspects is something that is reprimanded in Islam. Now, on the other hand, we find that there are many traditions by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, in which they talk about the world as a means and as a necessity. And so, in this manner, we realize that the world can actually be a great help for the akhirah and for the hereafter. Now, of course, you know, we live here in this modern world, in this modern era, and a integral part of this is that you have to go to work, you have to have a source of income, you need to make your ends meet. And so in this context, Islam has actually very severely condemned individuals who do not go and search for their sustenance, meaning they don't go and work in order to acquire an income. Now, of course, it is quite clear that one needs to acquire an income that is halal and is permissible. You know, one should most definitely not go and search for income that is haram. And in the present day, this can be quite difficult at times. But with the help of the Almighty Allah and a little bit of effort on our part, of course, we will find that earning a halal and permissible income is something that is not only relatively easy, but it is also quite satisfying. And so this encouragement that Islam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam via their traditions and of course the Holy Quran, they all tell us and encourage us and point us towards going out there and earning an income and providing for our families. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how the world is a great help when it comes to the believer and, of course, when it comes to the hereafter. One of the greatest misconceptions, as we said in the previous segment, is that Muslims believe that we should be poor, that we should be disenfranchised, and that we shouldn't try to make ends meet or search for our sustenance or work hard. Whereas we find that the infallible and immaculate imams, starting from Imam Ali alayhi salam, going through all the rest of the imams, we find that they worked very hard. They worked in fields, they worked in agriculture. Imam Ali alayhi salam himself, he worked to dig wells. He planted orchards of date palms. And we find that all of the imams actually, in one way or the other, they were involved in some kind of physical work. And so they made their ends meet in this way. Muslims, therefore, are encouraged and definitely should go out there and work hard in order to make ends meet, in order to provide for their families, provide for their children, and give them a good life. Now, before we end the program, it is kind of important to note that the world is not the ends. The world and this kind of work is not the hadaf. It is not the goal. It is not the mission. Rather, it is just a means for us to be able to live a comfortable life so that we can better worship the Almighty Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
A UN official has recently warned that if the Zionist regime does not allow fuel into Gaza immediately, trucks will be stuck at the southern Rafah crossing, unable to distribute anything at all. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry, the Zionist regime committed 13 massacres against Palestinians recently. The Palestinian death toll has risen to 23,706 since October 7th, with more than 60,000 injured, the ministry reported recently. Thousands more are still missing or buried under the rubble. All internet and telephone systems have been destroyed by the Zionist regime attacks, plunging Gaza into a communications blackout once again, according to the service provider Platel. Meanwhile, the head of Human Rights Watch stated that the Zionist regime must abide by the International Court of Justice ruling, which will likely be announced at the end of this month. Rana Hassan told Reuters, if Israel does not comply with the measures or orders of the court, then it is up to the international community to ensure that they are leveraging whatever pressure that they can to encourage Israel to actually implement the measures. The group released its World Report, which documents global human rights violations over the past year. Hassan said that Human Rights Watch was able to document the Zionist regime's crime of starvation as a means of warfare on the people of Gaza. Hassan told Reuters, in the throes of this war, what we have seen is consistent, flagrant violations of international humanitarian law. The Zionist regime is methodically blocking aid convoys headed for hospitals in northern Gaza or slowing them down using lengthy inspections, according to the United Nations aid agencies. Andrea Di Domenico, head of the UN's local office for the coordination of humanitarian affairs, asserted recently that the Israelis have systematically or quasi-systematically refused to allow the aid trucks through. He explained that Israel had only partially approved 3 out of 21 aid missions requested by his agency. He said, in particular, they have been very systematic in not allowing us to support hospitals, which is something that is reaching a level of inhumanity that for me is beyond comprehension. Recently, all aid trucks will be stuck at the southern Rafah crossing, and no humanitarian aid will be distributed across Gaza, Domenico warned. He said, we will simply be unable to unload the trucks. We don't have the fuel for the forklift, and we do not have the fuel for the trucks that are distributing the assistance out to where the people in need are. Auni Khattab, the director of the Palestine Red Crescent Society's Ambulance Center, was released recently after more than 50 days in the Zionist regime's detention. The Medical Association posted video of Khattab's emotional reunion with his family members and colleagues. Khattab had been abducted by Israeli troops on November 22nd with several other colleagues while he was transferring injured patients from Ashifa Hospital in Gaza City to the southern Gaza Strip. Mohammed Abu Salmia, the head of Ashifa Hospital, has still not been released from the Zionist regime's detention, along with approximately 100 other healthcare workers. Recently, PRCS held funerals for 4 of its paramedic team members killed in a targeted Israeli airstrike under ambulance in Deir al-Balah in the central Gaza Strip. 2 patients inside the ambulance were also killed. The paramedics were martyred while wearing the Red Crescent emblem, which is supposed to be protected according to international law, PRCS stated, adding, our colleagues were intentionally targeted while inside an ambulance clearly marked with the Red Crescent emblem. The United Nations Human Rights Office stated recently that it is deeply concerned that Israeli forces have placed civilian lives at serious risk by ordering residents from various parts of Middle Gaza to relocate to Deir al-Balah while continuing to conduct airstrikes on the city. The United Nations added that 4 separate strikes on Deir al-Balah since the beginning of January have killed more than 40 Palestinians. The agency said it is clear, as the UN has repeatedly stressed, that there is no safe place in Gaza. The United Nations noted that the recent Israeli regime airstrikes and sniper attacks on Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah, the only partially functioning hospital in the central Gaza Strip, has led many medical staff to take the difficult decision to evacuate the hospital despite the high need for medical care resulting from the continuing strikes. Recently, the hospital lost power as a result of a lack of fuel, putting patients, including infants, in incubators at extreme risk. Martin Griffiths, UN humanitarian chief, stated recently that the health sector in Gaza is being slowly chalked off as hospitals continue to come under fire. Doctors from charity group Medical Aid for Palestinians, who have been working at Al-Aqsa Hospital, told British Broadcasting Corporation recently that hundreds of patients are still being treated inside the hospital daily, but with decreasing numbers of staff available to treat the wounded and infirm. Many of the patients are arriving with horrific traumatic injuries, according to an emergency doctor. One of the physicians, Deborah Harrington, said there was little to no pain relief medication available while treating injured patients. She told the British Corporation, "I can't get out of my mind. A child came in alive, literally burnt to the bone. Their hands were contracting. Their face was just like coal, and they were alive and talking, and we had no morphine. I won't be able to wipe that memory and the smell being treated on the floor." The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza announced recently that the bed occupancy rate in all hospitals is more than 340% across departments and intensive care units. According to the Electronic Intifada, the Zionist regime has killed more than 100 journalists and media workers in Gaza since October 7th. Recently, an Israeli regime drone strike assassinated journalist Hamza al-Dahduh, the son of Wael Dahduh, Al Jazeera's Arabic language bureau chief in Gaza. Wael al-Dahduh's wife and two children were killed in an Israeli airstrike in late October, and his cameraman Samer Abu Daqa was killed in a drone strike last month. Another reporter, Mustafa Thuraya, was killed in the same attack that killed Hamza. They were traveling together in a car to cover a story in southern Gaza. The Zionist regime's military claimed that al-Dahduh was an operative with Islamic Jihad and that Thuraya was active with Hamas. The Zionist regime's army claimed that the two journalists were traveling in a vehicle with a terror operative who was operating a drone. Six press freedom and human rights groups sent a letter to U.S. President Joe Biden demanding that his administration act immediately and decisively to promote the conditions for safe and unrestricted reporting on the hostilities in Gaza. More journalists have been killed in the first 10 weeks of the Zionist regime's attacks that have ever been killed in a single country over an entire year. The letter states, citing statistics by the Committee to Protect Journalists, one of the letter's co-authors. Meanwhile, the Zionist regime's high court has rejected an appeal by international media outlets to allow them independent access to the Gaza Strip.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. He's what Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Well, this is IRIB English Radio, and...
And you're listening to You Station.
Yes, once more, we're back to home.
Yeah. Home. And I am Bita.
I'm Asma. And once again, we're here to have a beautiful discussion.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure, really, to
of
be
course.
Here.
How are you, Bita?
I'm doing well, mm-hmm. and I'm busy with my exams and so on.
Yeah, yesterday,
doing
right.
I was on the train, mm-hmm. and like 12-year-old girl mm-hmm. sat next to me, and the girl was really an angel, you know, she was really quiet, beautiful, neat, and, you know, she had three younger brothers, like, for example,
oh.
around 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, my and, God. All together they were in
yeah,
the train.
Yeah, all together in the train. Mm. And
lucky is the mother.
Maybe. And these four children only had one cell phone. The girl wanted a phone because she wanted to study PDF for her exam of tomorrow. And the younger brother wanted the phone to play. And the girl was, oh my gosh, and my dear brother, okay, I'm going to give it to you after 5 minutes.
Do let siblings talk like that?
And it was crazy. I was shocked. And I was like, come on, how even is it possible? Because, you know,
siblings
whenever,
don't talk like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the girl was so mature. You know, it was like, for example, you're not looking at a 12-year-old girl.
Well,
she was like 30 years
of being mature.
Yeah.
Does it have to do anything with maturity?
It
has. Not you talk with your siblings.
No.
You're easy.
Maturity. And the thing is, when I see these kind of people that mm-hmm. are more mature than their age, and they're like, you know, I shouldn't be, for example, excited about anything. I have to be calm. I have to be this and that. I feel sad. You are young. You have to be young. And you have to experience.
Well, there are some different perspective to that. Well,
yeah.
One point, what you saw was not the whole story.
Yeah, for sure.
She was trying to show her very good and mature
she
picture in the crowd.
Maybe.
Because, you know, we're talking about siblings and we know what siblings mean.
Yeah, I know what you
in
mean.
In sibling world, but you don't say, oh, honey, no, it's
no,
wrong.
No, so let's
you
think this
that.
Is the whole story. How miserable it is to act more than your age. To act like you don't need to experience anything new.
I think to be mature is one thing. And to and not to experience your age, all the, you know, ups and downs of your mental issues, your moods, the things you want, the wishes you have, the new experiences you wish to go for. That's a different thing.
But
when you do not give those chances a practical existence, when you do not go for them, that doesn't have to do with maturity.
But you know, most of maturity comes from experiences. And experiences come from the point that you have to be your age.
Yeah, but some people, you know, we have this word vicariously, in which you don't have to go for something. You just
look at other
see,
people.
Yeah, you look at other people and you feel that. So sometimes maybe experience comes from the fact that you're living with adults.
It's not going to work for me.
The same in here, because I'm the kind of person who says my foot has to feel the softness of the sand
exactly.
of the shore.
Exactly.
No matter how beautiful you're going to narrate that to me, I want my foot to touch it.
Me too. I'm the same way as you. So let's keep my story. And we're going to go for a short break.
Yeah,
and
we're
going to come back in a blink of an eye.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Youth Station.
Yes, we're back again. So we're talking about people who did not go for experiences that people of their age would go for. Like, for example, I'm telling you, Bita, that at this age, I have never been into doing some stuff that my parents would have never liked me to do, or things that I never thought I would do. Like, you know, actually, they're not that much. But of course, I have never been that dreamy child who's going to be the dream of all the parents in the world. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like the guys, when they are about to grow up, they have some things that might bring their parents to the position of being cross at those children.
Yeah.
So I do believe that I had some of those moments.
Everybody has.
Everybody has. And I think that those moments are part of my growing.
Yeah, they are.
If I was to be this version of myself, I had to go through all of those stuff. Like, even if right now I'm sitting in front of you and I'm confessing full-heartedly and honestly that, okay, they were wrong.
My pleasure.
They were wrong. Yeah. But at that moment, if you came to me, if the entire world told me that what I'm doing
you're
is wrong.
You're a complete rebel, I believe.
I would have never said, yes, yeah. You are right. No, you're not right. I want to go through it by myself. And I went, and sometimes it was wrong, but that's life. We're not infallible. Sometimes we do wrong stuff. And by the way, I have to mention this point as well. What I'm saying does not justify and exonerate you from whatever wrong thing you do. I'm telling you, if I go back, I might pay some head and attention to what is told to me. But then what I did was not that wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a border, an extent to whatever thing you do.
I get it.
I wasn't crossing any border. But then, since parents want their children to be perfect, they didn't let me do even the stuff that it's okay for you to do.
Yeah, I have this.
Of course, as a
here.
Child, you would understand what I say. Yeah. Living with parents means that you have to accept some special rules.
Yeah.
And maybe those rules are not exactly the same as your rules.
You know, as someone who is the first grandchild of both parts, mm-hmm. from my mother part,
maternal and paternal,
I'm gonna, you know, I always was with adults, always. No
yeah.
one younger than me, always with my auntie and uncles that are, for example, more than 15 years old. Older than me,
yeah, that's too bad.
I was born with, mm-hmm. and I was, you know, living with them,
yeah,
and it wasn't a factor of my maturity, unfortunately or fortunately, because I always had this feeling in myself that I have to experience it myself, I have to do this, I have to do that, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, confessing this is sad, but you know, I was a kind of teenager who wanted to see everything, to do everything, and experience these, and I called it freedom, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And my parents tried so hard to make me someone.
Rein your powers and rebelliousness.
Exactly.
In.
And you know, they always told me, you're so ambitious, and this ambition will kill you.
Oh, like the curiosity kills the cat,
ambition
exactly. kills you.
Yeah. And, you know, it really helped me. Right now, I understand that you cannot experience everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some irreversible consequences of the things that you do.
Yeah.
For example, addiction. What you're going to do when
exactly.
you are addicted to something.
Like cigarettes for boys.
Yeah, it's really difficult to create these kind of habits.
So, let's get something straight.
Yeah.
As youngsters, we sometimes tend to go for things that are not okay.
Yeah.
Or let's say that they're not according to the rules of the parents,
of the
society,
home
of whatever.
Yeah.
It's just you wishing to do something. But then there's an extent. It's not always good to cross all the borders. Because remember that these stains that might get into your heart are not going to be vanished from it. And even if everybody forgets about it, you, as the individual you are, you would always remember that. And not just remember that, you would remind yourself of it.
Exactly.
One day, I don't know, one night, one day, somewhere you're sitting in a cozy place, that idea, that thought that I did something wrong will haunt you. And then at that moment, you feel like so depressed. Why nobody told me don't do it? Why nobody stopped me from doing
exactly.
it? Why I even did that? You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes, yes, it's okay. Like, for example, to eat chocolate more than required amount of any child has to eat. Like, it's okay to run after each other, like friends when you are children, in a wrong time. Like, it's okay to play some pranks on other people at a certain age, of course. And laugh about it, giggle about it, as children do, you know? They do some idiotic stuff, and they start laughing about it.
Yeah, I know.
And we have been there, you know? It feels so cool. But then, there are some other stuff, like hurting yourself, hurting your dignity, hurting your maturity, hurting your characteristic. These things are not playing pranks on others. These are not going to be forgotten. You would never forget those things. And the stains and the effect that they're going to leave behind in your heart is going to last forever.
Yeah, I do agree with that. There are scars of whatever you did in the past as a youth. And being young is not an excuse for you to justify the wrong deeds that you're doing. So I think we gotta go for a short break.
People who are just so, so good people. They look like nerds. You feel like they have never touched a mosquito even. So they have never been into anything extraordinary or adventurous. I do feel like these guys are not natural. You know, there's something wrong with them. As a child, you must have this passion, this urge to go for adventure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Curiosity.
Of course, we talked about it, that we're not for all different sorts of adventures.
Exactly.
Because some of them are going to leave some unforgettable imprints in your heart and in your mind. Those things, you have to put them aside. We're talking about the
natural sense of curiosity that you have to feel.
The natural sense of, I don't want to be like the others.
Yeah.
I want to go against the currents of the sea.
And I want to see the world.
Yeah,
you know, this
see
feeling.
The world.
I want to see the world and people.
I want to be different.
And explore
exactly.
all the personalities.
I don't want to be the best colleague in the school. I don't want to be the best student in the school. I don't want to be the best child in the family.
I get it. I believe there is underlying reason for these people being this desperate and being like, oh my gosh, I feel nothing in going and following my curiosity. And
so when I see those people, those people who you look at them and you feel like, okay, they have never been through any ups and downs, I feel like they're not natural.
To give you and our dear audience the gist of whatever we talked
about. Yeah, because we talked about rebelliousness and we don't want you to go through misunderstanding.
Exactly. If you are not...
Don't touch the fire.
...giving you an excuse to touch the fire.
Yeah.
It's just an example. And you have to moderately enjoy this feeling of curiosity that you have in yourself. And be natural. Be free.
Be
and
natural.
Be human.
Use your brain, of course, anytime at any stage of your life. Be logical, and at the same time, do not repress your feelings that belong to your youth. Do not kill all your passions. Yeah, this was all. We're running out of time again.
We're running out of time, and I wish it was useful for you, dear listeners.
I
bid you farewell.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greens be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that, inshallah, in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Allah.
selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints. It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
The limelight.
Lebanon's Hezbollah movement says the Israeli regime has suffered unprecedented losses at the hands of Palestinian resistance. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Secretary General of Lebanon's Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, says the Israeli regime has suffered unprecedented losses at the hands of Palestinian resistance and has failed to achieve any of its goals after 100 days of its genocidal war in the Gaza Strip. The Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah Movement, Said Hassan Nasrallah, made the remark in a televised speech on Sunday, 14th of January, in commemoration of Wissam Hassan al-Tawil, a senior Hezbollah commander who was assassinated in an Israeli strike in southern Lebanese village of Khir Bet Salm on 8th of January. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah praised Wissam Hassan al-Tawil as one of the commanders in the war against Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in Syria and stressed that he had also been one of the field commanders on the southern front since 8th of October, when the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah began its war against the Israeli regime. Nasrallah hailed as legendary Palestinian resistance against the Israeli aggression after 100 days and said, "The Israeli regime has not succeeded in achieving any of its goals in its campaign, neither the explicit nor the implicit ones," he said. 100 days have passed and Gaza and its people remain steadfast in a legendary manner that history has never witnessed. Said Hassan Nasrallah added, The implicit goals of the Israeli war are to occupy the Gaza Strip, displace the population of Gaza, and to turn the territory into a beach for the Israeli settlers, he added. The Israeli enemy was neither able to eliminate the resistance in Gaza nor able to eliminate Hamas. In further comments, underlining that the Lebanese front has been open since 8th of October, said Hassan Nasrallah expressed Hezbollah's readiness to fight and said Lebanon has no fear of war with the United States and the Israeli regime. Those who should fear war and be scared of it are the Israelis and their settlers, Nasrallah said. We have been ready for war for the past 99 days, and we do not fear it. We will fight with no restrictions. Warning that the Americans must fear for their bases in the region, said Hassan Nasrallah said, our stance is that the Lebanese front has been supporting and assisting Gaza, and its objective is halting the Israeli aggression against Gaza. Let the aggression against Gaza stop, and then talks relating to Lebanon will be possible, he said. Nasrallah also said the resistance continues to inflict losses on the Israeli occupation forces. Meanwhile, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has censured a series of missile strikes carried out by the United States and its allies on Yemen, saying the move displays Washington's aggressiveness and anti-human rights nature. In a telephone call with the head of Yemen's Supreme Political Council, Mahdi al-Mash'at, on Sunday, 14th of January, the Iranian president, said Ebrahim Raisi, said all freedom-seeking nations of the world condemn the U.S. aggression against Yemen. President Raisi said the Yemenis have resisted the aggression of foreign powers for years and are still playing an effective role in defending the oppressed Palestinians. The Iranian president praised the Yemeni people's support for the Palestinians and placed a premium on maintaining security of the shipping lines for countries. President Raisi said the Israeli regime has launched a genocidal war against the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip, in particular Palestinian women and children. President Raisi reiterated Iran's principal stance on the support of the Palestinian people and emphasized the Israeli aggression will end in victory for the Palestinians. In their final assault in the early hours of Friday, United States and Britain, backed by Australia, Canada and Bahrain, struck more than 60 targets at almost 30 locations in Yemen, killing 5 Yemenis and injuring 6 others. Yemen's Ansar Allah fighters have been attacking commercial ships transiting the Red Sea in solidarity with the Palestinian population of Gaza. The Ansar Allah movement has said they will continue until Israel withdraws its forces from the Gaza Strip. In other news, the Israeli military have killed at least 5 Palestinians, including 3 teenagers, in violent raids across the occupied West Bank of the River Jordan. According to the Palestinian Wafa news agency, the fatalities occurred after the Israeli military attacked Palestinian civilians at 3 locations in the West Bank on Sunday, 14th of January. The youngest victim, identified as 14-year-old Palestinian Louay al-Soufi, was gunned down after Israeli forces raided the Ain Sultan refugee camp north of the West Bank city of Ariha. The report cited medical sources as saying that the victim was shot in the chest after Israeli soldiers opened fire with live rounds at the refugee camp's residence during the raid. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli army is reporting it has killed about 9,000 Palestinian fighters in Gaza since the war began, as the Gaza Ministry of Health says the death toll has approached 24,000. A 24-hour protest in Tel Aviv, with protesters calling for the release of 136 captives still held by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas in Gaza, after 100 days of war. According to estimates, Israel has spent 210 billion shekels, or $54 billion, on the war in Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, an opinion poll has suggested that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would lose power if elections were held today. Israel's Channel 4 television opinion poll says Netanyahu's governing coalition has fell to 56 seats in the Knesset, while the opposition has jumped to 64 seats. Netanyahu's Likud party would lose its status as the biggest party in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, falling from 32 seats to 26. The Israeli war minister, Benny Gantz's Blue and White party, would jump to 29 seats in the Knesset, according to the opinion poll, making it the biggest party in the Israeli Knesset. Many point to Benny Gantz as Israel's likely next prime minister, but unless Netanyahu's coalition falls, no general elections will be scheduled until 2026.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Keeping the memory of martyrs alive, a necessary repetition for society. This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the organizers of the Congress for the commemoration of the 10,000 martyrs from the East Azerbaijan province. This meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on December 6, 2023. This characteristic of seeking martyrdom and the outstanding behavior that was observed in their sacrifices is not limited to the imposed war. This wasn't just during the sacred defense. This began before the revolution and has continued up until today. This city, Tabriz, has two martyred Friday prayer leaders. In other words, out of the five Friday prayer leaders who are martyred and who are among the best of our clerics in the country, two of them came from the city of Tabriz. These things are very important. What I am saying as a recommendation is that, first of all, do not let the effervesce of the martyrs' blood abate. Commemorating the martyrs should not be limited to just reminiscing about them. The piety, the sacrifices, the bravery, the shining gem within people like Martyr Bakri, which drew them to the middle of the field, for example, should be reflected and conveyed to the younger generation to serve as role models for them.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Our youth crave role models. The best role models are these. Some nations, which completely lack this, or lack it to a great extent, create and make up their own role models without them even existing. We have these role models before us. Martyr Bakri should not just be looked at on the battlefield. We should also see what he was like behind the scenes of the battlefield. We should see what he was like when he went to Tabriz University. We should see what activities he took part in during the pre-revolutionary period. That spirit should be seen. I met martyr Mehdi Bakri in Mashhad before the revolution. He was a high-spirited, enthusiastic, intelligent person who was well able to analyze different events. This is what made him shine like that and draw people's hearts toward him during the sacred defense. This kind of spirit needs to be reflected. If we make films, if we write books, and if we compile and publish books of recollections about him, we must be careful to reflect his spirit in them. This spirit is a constructive spirit.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Of Jalali Tehran.
Rubashavit Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
In a powerful display of solidarity and condemnation, thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in the port city of Karachi to protest against Israeli atrocities in Gaza. The protest, dubbed the Million Man March for Gaza, saw demonstrators from various walks of life voicing their anger at the Israeli regime and demanding an end to the violence that has engulfed the region for weeks.
First of all, ceasefire immediately. And we demand the freedom of Palestine from the river to the sea. And we demand Israel to be taken into accountability for all the crimes they have committed against the Palestinian nation.
The march witnessed massive turnouts with protesters chanting slogans to condemn the Israeli massacre in Gaza. Simultaneously, civil society activists and Palestinian students studying at Pakistani universities also held protest demonstrations in solidarity with people of Gaza, praising South Africa for taking a bold step by filing a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice.
I think we can all learn from South Africa. The way they have stood up for Palestine when no other country stood by them. We are so proud of South Africa, and I feel that our government can learn from them. If we want to, we can really make a difference. We can join the petition.
South Africa, I could not even think would come into and having this whole thing taken up by them. It should have been Saudi Arabia. It should have been UAE. It should have been Jordan. It would have been other Muslim countries. But the leaders are just watching. They're just watching, you know, and they're not doing anything.
The protesters called on other nations to support South Africa's initiative and urged the International Court of Justice to conduct a thorough investigation into alleged atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza.
The demonstrations for Gaza highlight a widespread sentiment among Pakistanis against unwavering support from the U.S. and its Western allies for Israel's actions in the region. These marches provide a platform for Pakistanis to vocally condemn Israeli forces for their atrocities against Palestinian population. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
A
Over 100 prominent activists, as well as academics and religious figures, gathered in Tehran to attend a one-day conference titled Al-Aqsa Flood and the Awakening of Human Conscience. Sponsored by the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought, the conference focused on atrocities committed by the Israeli regime and discussed the recent developments in Gaza.